Welcome to Center on this Palm Sunday. Let's start our worship by turning to hymn number 266, Nothing But the Blood. Everybody grab our bulletin, please, and turn to the back side. A prayer for Palm Sunday. I was thinking all morning about an appropriate prayer for today, and lo and behold, here it is. So let's lift this prayer together. Loving God, give us joy in our hearts as we shout Hosanna, welcoming Jesus our King with palms, celebrating all that we hope for as the Easter story unfolds. Then, as the journey of Jesus turns towards Good Friday, help us know that you are with us when celebration turns to sadness. Give us the faith we need to follow you on the way of the cross, which leads to life. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Center Friends. As Julie said, it is Palm Sunday. It is the beginning of Holy Week. It is a celebration of the journey to the cross and what that means. And we will talk about that just in a little bit. But are there any announcements that need to be made mention of this morning?
Quick reminding down front here, okay?
Front with anyone who wants to help with the senior meal this week.
All right, Quakermen on the right, senior meal on the left. Any others? I will say, had a great time yesterday. The kids seemed to enjoy Collapse Nursing Center. They went and did the Easter extravaganza. There were some folks there with children who I believe were related to the residents or to the workers there. The rain, I don't know where it came from, but it was a lot. But they got an Easter egg hunt done. They had a good visit with the residents, and they passed out sun catchers that had they'd made that had crosses on them, and with our name and contact information. So it was a good time, and the residents seemed to really enjoy it. The ones that could wheelchair up and be around the kids. If there's no other announcements, our ushers come forward, please. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this week. We thank you for the life that you've given us, the abilities to worship you and to praise you. Help us continue to recognize that you are all-powerful in our lives and that you sent your Son to the cross for us, for a dying world, so that we can have hope in eternity. Lord, as we lift these offerings to you, guide us and direct us on how to best use them, so that we can continue to spread your message of love and hope and faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
to rethink how I'm going to talk now. Did you go to the Easter extravaganza yesterday? You did? I had to work. One of the few Saturdays I have to work. I was so sad because I really wanted to go to see the residents. I know they were happy to see young people and excited to get their gifts that were made for them. So today's Palm Sunday. Did you study about Palm Sunday in Sunday school by chance? You did a little bit, so you'll be able to help me with the lesson that were the little stories time that we're going to have here. Do you know what Hosanna means? Everybody says Hosanna, Hosanna. It means praise. Tommy's going to share with us. I learned something from him this week that he learned. It means something else as well. It also means save, I think. So he's going to talk about that some. But it's like if you're at a baseball game maybe and the baseball players here, if they make a home run and people jump up and they high five and they shout, yay, and they clap, it's kind of like that. Except I wouldn't do Hosanna, Hosanna at the next ball game because people might look at you a little bit strange. But you can if you want to. but it's kind of like that. It's kind of like being really happy, you're praising. It's kind of like if the president were to come here and we were to be excited and wanted to welcome him in a way because he would be a high dignitary, so to speak. What do you, I lost my thought I was getting ready to say about that. Sorry, I can tell I've worked a lot and I'm tired. When Jesus came in and he came in on the donkey, another thing that people did was they took off their cloaks or they took off part of one of their outer garments. And what they wore was really similar to what we wear as a choir robe. And I asked Whitney to keep hers on because I was burning up and couldn't keep mine on. So she has on something that would be similar to what they had. It's kind of like, y'all know what a tunic is? Kind of, it's just a one-piece kind of thing. And then some of them wore something, and it wouldn't have been out of yarn-like material. It would have been out of cloth. But it's also kind of like a vest. Like, this is my long vest that I wear. They sometimes wore these on the outside of those, and that's something they took off those sometimes, we're told. That is what happened. And this is a picture that I found that I was going to share with you. You'll see down here they put down the cloaks on the bottom, and they have the palm branches here. And I'm sure you've seen pictures like this in other places. Now, tell me, this is what I was going to ask you. Do you do anything special when you find out somebody's coming to your house? Clean up. Mom says, clean up your room right now. And Mom probably goes and cleans the toilet and maybe vacuum in the middle of the floor, that kind of thing, right? So everybody knows about that kind of stuff. Okay, well, these people were kind of like that. They were so excited that they thought that Jesus was coming to them, into their town, and that he was going to be able to help them, to help save them. So what we're going to do, and I know you girls are older, and you're probably going to think this is kind of silly, but we're going to make our own little area right here that we're going to lay some stuff down on the floor, and then we're going to put palm branches on it, and we're going to leave it there to show that that's kind of what it would have looked like in Bible times, okay? So I just brought some towels. I did not make tunics and cloaks for everybody. I'm not that smart. I didn't call Cage and try to do that. So grab some towels. There's some sheets in here. They're really big. You can just spread them out, throw them out, all right in here. Just have liberty at it, and these are clean clothes. Somebody asked me if Keith forgot to do his laundry. They're not dirty. Right out of my cabinet. You go all the way over there. Take some of these. Here's another sheet. And then we're going to put our palm branches down. We're going to leave it out. I like visuals. Tommy likes visuals. Don't you, Tommy? There you go.
Yeah.
They could keep themselves clean, and there you go. Thank you. And I think the reason palms were used is because that's probably something that was in the area of where they were, and they just pulled them from the trees and spread them down and waved them. Unless Tommy corrects me during the sermon. Okay, let me just share the verses from the Bible with you about that. I know that you're very familiar with them. It says, they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So they were expecting Jesus, they knew he came, and they wanted to give him a welcome that was worthy of a king. Okay? Can we pray a little bit? Father, thank you for this time that we have had together to share. Thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us to learn more about you. I pray that you would be with us this week as we enter into Holy Week and we celebrate different days this week, and we remember what happened on certain days that are signified for us or designated for us. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with us as we go through the emotions of the week. As the prayer said, we go from celebration to sadness, and then we come out with the sun shining on Easter morning. Be with us this week. Guide us and bless us and direct us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Martha Jo. Well, I think she read my sermon. So I guess, well, let's pray and we'll get out of here. No, I'm just kidding. I love visuals and to imagine what it looked like coming in from Bethany to Jerusalem and seeing palm branches that were the size of people being waved and thrown down is probably a remarkable visual. Let's go into prayer requests and praises. Has God done good for anybody this week? Well, I will tell you that God has done good for me at work. He has placed folks in my life who have been an encouragement this week. With the last message that I gave, I expressed that the different glorious times that God had presented himself to me, and he continues to do that. And he's just placing folks at work at the sheriff's office that are just... it's just been a prayerful week, just been a blessing, and we've read scriptures together, and we've prayed together, and we've gotten as a group and prayed over the department, and it's been a God week, as somebody says, been God crazy. So, but with praises, we always come with needs, and I want to lift one special one up, and that's Caroline Heiss. She's been on my heart, as many of you have been praying for her. She continues to battle these chronic headaches, has still not had complete answers, but she is at home. She's been at home for 60-plus now days out of school, and the school's been providing her tutorials and tutors and things of that nature so she can stay caught up, but I want to lift her and Sharon up specifically because there's no amount of understanding I can give to know that your child's in pain and you can't do anything about it. And you're just waiting for answers. So part of that, and you're going to look at me like I'm crazy, I told Caroline a long time ago there were a lot of people praying for her. And what I want to do now is I want to take your picture. And I want to take your picture waving at the camera so I can send to her so she knows that her church is still here praying for her and loving her from a distance. Can we do that? We'll take a picture of everybody. See if I can do this without... All right, everyone stick your hands up and wave at Caroline. Thank you.
How about us?
Well, we FaceTime.
We're the young brothers. Okay, get Ginger over here. Gotcha. I'm going to put those together in a card, and I'm going to send it to Caroline so that she can still see that she's not forgotten, she is loved, and she is prayed for. But we really need to lift her up, most definitely. I also was told that Mary Hamilton's sister, we've prayed for Gertrude Silman before, but Gertrude Silman is in the hospital battling a medical need, and so we need to lift up Mary Hamilton's sister, Gertrude Silman, again in prayer. Are there any others?
Faith back surgery on one of her eyes this week.
They say that makes all the difference in the world once you can get healed up and can see very clearly. So she can see whatever Elizabeth and Landon and Josh do real clear. Are there any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you with just joyful hearts. We lift your name, Hosanna in the highest. We thank you for this week. Help us recognize that you sent your Son for us, that nothing but the blood of Jesus can save us. Lord, continue to present your glories to us. Help us see you all around us this week and in the coming weeks, and that the Easter message doesn't die on Saturday, and it doesn't end on Sunday after the sun comes up, that it continues day by day and hour by hour. Lord, and because of the Easter message, because of the resurrection of your Son, we can come to you with needs and with prayers. Lord, I thank you for Faith Shore and that you give her healing and she can continue to have good sight. That you've touched the doctor so that they can clear her vision. And she can still be a blessing and can see the blessings around her. Lord, we lift up Gertrude Silman this morning as she's battling a medical need in the hospital. You know the need, you know the desires there, you know what's going on. So we ask that you touch her in a special way and that you give her continued healing as you have in the past. And Lord, as you say, all children can come to you. I raise up Caroline Heiss. We as a church lift her as high as we can. Lord, we're just asking you to intercede. Anoint her. Place your hand on her. We're loving her from a distance. Only you can interject now, Lord. Doctors are trying, and we know that you're there and you're trying to give them the wisdom, but we know you can heal people. Just cover her in your love and your grace, your protection. Be with Kate and Sharon as they deal with this and have to be patient, because that's one of the hardest traits to ask for. Let them feel you all around them. Hug them and love them. And you lift them up. Any unspoken request here today, Lord, you know what's on people's hearts. You know what's in their minds. You know what life battles they're going through. We give those to you. We lay those at the foot of the cross at Calvary so that nothing but the blood of Jesus can take them away. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hosanna, 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 Hosanna.
So this morning is Palm Sunday. I don't get nervous up here and drop my pen everywhere. And the message is in all four Gospels. And I didn't put a scripture in your bulletin this morning. I had Martha Jo put a scripture in the bulletin this morning because we're going to be in all four Gospels. The message is about the same with a few little differences, different witness accounts, recorded different things, but we're going to be in all four Gospels. So you don't need to turn with me unless you just want to, and I'll try to make sure that I give time to give the scriptures. But the triumphal entry is what it's called. And I started doing some research on the triumphal entry, and last year I talked about the donkey and the purpose of the donkey and how he was carrying Christ, or to be Christ, into the city he was going to save. And we didn't get into the meat and potatoes, or for lack of a better term, of the message of the entry. And I started doing, when I was researching for this message, and realized that there's some interesting facts about this particular act that kind of pulled it all together. For me, it did, and I kind of had a reassurance in the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. So I'm going to start in John 19. I'm sorry, I take that back. John 12. John chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 12. I'm sorry, yeah, John 12, 12. Can't see this morning. John records this. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "This is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." So this festival that was mentioned is the Passover festival. And so you've got Jews coming from all over to descend on Jerusalem and the surrounding suburbs to celebrate the exodus from Egypt, to celebrate when God passed over them and delivered them from the Pharisees and got them out of slavery. So this was a big deal. I mean, this was a big party. A crowd We're talking large numbers of crowd, large numbers of people. And they came from, they made long treks, and they came from all over to just celebrate their freedom. Now, a crowd had formed along the roadway near Bethphage and Bethany that led into Jerusalem, and that's discussed in Luke. And this wasn't an ordinary crowd. This wasn't just a small gathering of folks. We're talking a lot of folks. John describes it as a great crowd. The Jewish historian Josephus estimates over 2 million people. That's not a small crowd. 2 million people attended this festival. And 2 million people had heard about this guy coming to town. Now, it's also estimated by Josephus, who was the Jewish historian at the time, that 256,000 lambs were slaughtered during Passover festival. That's a lot of meat. 256,000 lambs slaughtered at the Passover festival. And each lamb represented, or was supposed to be a representation of 10 worshipers. That was the blessing to God and a sacrifice to God for about 10 people. Now, can you imagine all those people? And then can you imagine this altar that they're slaughtering these lambs and the amount of blood that's there? Kind of gross if you think about it. It's a lot. But that's why they're there. Now, I find it interesting that Jesus chose this festival to make his entry. And the one thing that came to mind was he's getting more bang for his buck. Imagine all the people, and he's walking in saying, "I am the king." Pretty strategic, I would say. So you've got the entrance. All four Gospels explain the entrance in the same way, just about. And Jesus instructed his disciples to go find a donkey. He knew where it was, told them where it would be, and told them to untie it and bring it to him. And there's also another lesson about the donkey's owner that we'll not get into this morning, but you can talk about the sacrifice that the owner made, given an unridden donkey to this guy named Jesus. When they arrived with the donkey, just like Martha Jo said, they placed cloaks on the donkey so that he would be able to ride on the donkey. And then as he was going down the road, people were placing palm branches and cloaks along the roadway. Now the donkey was used because it was a service animal, it was a noble animal. And what it is, it carries heavy loads. And I find it interesting that it was carrying Jesus Christ, who then carries our burdens. More significantly, it was also used to carry kings into cities so you could ride in on a horse or you could ride in on a donkey. Now, it's very important to understand that when you ride in on a horse as a king, you're coming as a conqueror. You're coming to take the city, a war horse. But when you ride in on a donkey, you're coming with peaceful intentions. And that's a very important message to make and to understand. Now, by this time, the crowd has heard he's coming. The message has gone out that he raised Lazarus from the dead. They said, "We got to see this guy. I mean, I'd buy a ticket to that show. You know, I'd want to see that." Matthew describes in chapter 21 that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the question was asked, "Who is this?" And it was a prophet named Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Now the crowd was filled with sightseers who just wanted to see what was going on, the rubberneckers that wanted to look because everybody else was looking, filled with religious leaders who wanted to make sure things were going along the way they were supposed to and that the legalism was there. There were believers in Jesus, those who actually believed that he raised Lazarus from the dead. And then there were the non-believers, the naysayers. Now the reaction to this guy, and I told you, you know, Martha Jo explained it, that they spread the cloaks on the ground. They cut palm branches. Because he wasn't fit to walk on a dirty road. It was their sacrifice, laying down their cloaks and saying, "Please, let's clear a way for you. Let's clear a way for you." They shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna," a shout of praise, and a shout meaning save and save us. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Luke 19 describes the crowd joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had heard about and they had seen. "Hosanna, Hosanna." Hosanna in the highest. Some recognized him, and some did not. That's exciting to me. If I was one of those folks and I believed and I saw him coming, that's exciting. I'd want to cheer him on too. But why was he there? Well, they believed he was there to save them from the Romans. He came as a king. Hosanna, Hosanna, save us. Save us. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for sending him to this physical earth. And that was an interesting fact because we sing Hosanna and we sing praise and we understand it's a triumphal entry, but the purpose behind it, at least what they understood, was it was going to be a physical saving, much like the Exodus in Egypt. It's going to be a physical, Moses is going to come in and save the Israelites. Jesus is going to come in and take away our political issues. It was going to be Jesus, the political leader. Jesus, the monarch. Jesus, the true physical leader. He's going to come in, he's going to handle business, he's going to get it done, he's going to command an army, he's going to take control, and we're going to have Jerusalem back like we want it, like it's supposed to be. But there's a misunderstanding there. The Jewish people saw Jesus as a Messiah coming to bring a utopic society, a perfect world, that they would be God's people and they would live in harmony. A king for the present. By coming in and overtaking Jerusalem, Jesus was expected to restore it to that powerhouse nation. He came in on a donkey, but he was a king coming in peace. They missed the donkey. They didn't see it. In all their excitement, they didn't pick up on the imagery. The message of peace was completely missed. He came bringing an assurance of eternal peace, not of a monarch, a king, and a queen. He was a misunderstood Messiah because the prophecy was fulfilled. They recall Zechariah 9. I'm going to read that to you. Zechariah 9:9-13. And it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious." How powerful does that sound? Righteous and victorious. But then here's the next part of the prophecy. Lowly and riding on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey. "I will take away the chariots of Ephraim and the war horses of Jerusalem." Here's an important phrase. "And the battle bow will be broken." Not launched, not sent, but broken. "And he will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your son Zion against your son's Greece and make you like a warrior's sword." Against Greece. So they heard, righteous and victorious, and he will rule. But they missed the part about proclaiming peace to all nations. They missed the gentleness. Jesus came as a king of hearts. He was supposed to be a conqueror, a provider, a passive leader to allow them to do whatever they wanted to do and have a perfect society. When in reality, he came to be the sacrifice for all of their sins of the world. Becoming the spiritual ruler, the spiritual king, the eternal Lord of all of God's people. He became the king of hearts and souls, not the king of stuff. Not over the physical world. There's another important part in Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 41. And this is talking about Jesus approaching Jerusalem. And it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Now, why did Jesus cry? He was walking in, riding in, and going to be the leader of this city, of these people. They were cheering him on, Hosanna, Hosanna. Why was he crying? And Jesus said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within the walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That's why he wept. Jesus wept because they misunderstood him. They missed it. He wept because he saw what they were cheering for. They failed to see the Messiah. They failed to see the eternal freedom. They failed to see the forgiveness. He wept because he knew the same ones who were shouting Hosanna would be the same ones who would hang him from a cross. Now imagine that, a king for a day. He knew they were going to hang him from a cross, and yet they were cheering him on in the city. Talking about a confused ball of emotions. The crowd went from celebratory parade, as we'll know later on, to an angry mob who shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" His body once clean and blemish-free, that of royalty, walking along a palm-covered path, became a bleeding, lashed open, broken physical body that eventually was pierced. The crowd didn't either believe in him to begin with, or they lost interest when he didn't fulfill their preconceived expectations. Religious leaders, feeling as if they were losing control, made a deal with Pilate, had Jesus arrested, and eventually killed him. Luke even records the Pharisees telling Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples," as they cheered him on. The leaders feared an uprising and the loss of their status as the religious leaders. John 12:19, so the Pharisees said to one another, as I repeated earlier, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now you come to realize that these religious leaders were it. They were the top of the top of the class system. I mean, they were it. And then this guy rolls in on a donkey and says, "I am the Son of God." And they said, "Oh, I don't think so." And they knew about his miracles. They knew about his raising Lazarus from the dead. They feared to believe because they feared losing control. So what does that mean for us? What's the point? The first point is that Jewish people had certain expectations of Jesus. They had a certain expectation of him. They had selfish expectations. They were looking for a Messiah who was going to bring them into a perfect world, a ruler who would deliver them from the control of Caesar and the Romans by force if necessary. But let me ask you, what are your expectations of Christ? Can you remember when you were saved? What did you expect? Did you expect a life free of problems? Perfect health? No pain, no guilt? All the indulges you ever wanted with a free pass to heaven? Is that what we expect from Jesus? Are our expectations that of the Jews in the story? Can you recall a time you told God it wasn't fair because that's not what the contract was? You're supposed to save me. I think times we can become those people who say, "Hosanna, Hosanna, crucify him." Second point, they misunderstood the purpose of the Messiah. They missed the signs. They missed the messages. They missed seeing him for who he really was. He is the Son of God. They failed to see he was coming as a king of a salvation that can't be taken away. He came as a king of sacrificial love, love that we can't even fathom, the agape love. We can't fathom that sacrificial love. Are we missing the meanings of his teachings? Are we missing out on faith or hope or love? Are we missing out on the promise of an eternal reward? Many were threatened by the presence of Jesus. Like I mentioned, the leaders were fearful of losing control. Are we threatened by the presence of Jesus? I'd say yes, sometimes. Are we threatened by the presence of Christ in our lives? Because you know what? That requires us to give up control. That requires us to let him have it all. But if I give him all my problems, that means I gotta give him all the good stuff too. I gotta do what he tells me to do. I gotta follow his leading. Control is a big thing. Recognizing Jesus as the Savior takes us away from those things that give us the physical pleasures, but they sour our spirits. We may be doing something we aren't necessarily comfortable doing when we follow Jesus. When we give it to him, we may have to talk to that stranger. We may have to pray for somebody. We may have to pray out loud. We may have to shed tears that we're uncomfortable shedding because of the Spirit working inside of us. Jesus Christ rode in on a donkey, making the statement to the world that he was the King of Kings. He was the living Son of God. He was God in the flesh so that we could have that relationship. And he was the final lamb for slaughter. But that's not the end of the story. So praise the Lord, we can say Hosanna, Hosanna, because he is saving us. Today is a bittersweet day. It's an emotional day if you really, really think about Palm Sunday. He showed up and announced he was the King of Peace. And as a believer in Christ, and I'm saved by him, that is exciting to me because that is him telling the world who he is. But on the opposite side, it's the first day of his last week of his physical presence on earth. The beginning of the end for Jesus the man. I told you earlier in the message that the crowd was made up of followers, non-believers, religious leaders, and sightseers. And the message was received differently from all of them. Some saw the donkey and understood it was a piece. Some didn't see the donkey and thought it was going to be a takeover. Some feared a takeover, and some just didn't believe altogether. He's a crazy man on a donkey. On this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Easter, do you see Jesus as a king making a triumphal entry, not into Jerusalem, but into your life every day? Will you lay down your cloaks, your palm branches? Will you lay down your hearts, creating a path fit for a king, but not just any king, the king? Which person in the crowd are you? Are you the follower? Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for you. Are you the naysaying non-believer? Are you the threatened religious leader? Or are you just a sightseer waiting to see what happens next? If you're the non-believer, now's the time to get the message right in your heart. There's no other time better than the present. I urge you to begin that relationship with Christ. Salvation is offered. It is there if you will accept it. All you have to do is ask him to take control of your life and allow him to take control of your life. Allow him to penetrate your heart and to deliver you from the sinful ways so that we can continue to receive forgiveness. He'll wash away all darkness. And he'll place a light inside of you that will be brighter than any other light we can imagine. He loves you so much, He died on the cross like a lamb for you. If you're one who feels threatened because you may lose control of your life, yeah, I believe in this Jesus, but I won't give 100%. I just want to give maybe 50% on Sundays. I pray there's a peace that flows over you, causing those walls to crumble, those dark whispers to fade away, the reluctance to end, allowing the light to shine through you. God has a plan for your life. Allowing Him to direct you and seeing His glory all around. It's okay to give up control. It's okay to let go. And if you're a sightseer, just waiting to see what happens next, boy, do I have a story coming up for you. It's so powerful, it'll shake your soul. And if you think His entrance was awesome, you haven't seen anything yet. Regardless of who you are, what you're going through, what's burdening your life, please, please, please don't let Christ be the misunderstood Messiah for you.
Testament, when Passover took place, a perfect lamb was sacrificed and his blood was placed over the doorway of the homes of the Israelites. And when the death angel came through to kill the firstborn, those who were inside those homes were spared death. And in 1 Corinthians, it says that Christ was our Passover. So not only did we have salvation, but we also have eternal life through Jesus.
Thank you, Tommy. Well, it was a great message to start our week, prepare our hearts for the week ahead. I hope everyone will take some time this week to think about Easter and what's coming up Friday and the joy we look forward to next Sunday with this resurrection. Let's conclude our worship by turning to 273, Jesus Paid It All, verses 1 and 3.
Message of the gospel to a hurting world. Let us be the light that drives out the darkness and the peace and love in others' hearts. Thank you so much. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.